the gospel to every nation. So we truly appreciate all of you that donate, sacrifice, and give to Christ Unveiled. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most holy and righteous Father, Lord, we just appreciate you again for allowing us to be in your house one more time, for allowing us to be in your presence, Lord, one more time. And God, I just ask that you just bless, continue to bless those who bless this ministry. And Lord, those who have a desire to give but do not have the finances, I just ask that you bless them financially so that they can be a part of taking your word out to the world. And Lord, I just ask that you prepare our hearts this morning. Prepare our minds, Lord, for what you have for us, for the word that you're going to send forth through Pastor Nash. And God, we just thank you and we praise you in your holy name. Amen. Praise God. You know, we just thank God this morning for having Pastor Nash with us. You know, it's a blessing when you have like spirits. You know, you can't always talk to everybody. You can't always mingle with everybody. But it's something about knowing the Spirit of God, and it bears witness with your spirit. And that's what we have with Brother Torrance, who we appreciate being out with us this morning. And as he comes, I just want to ask that we give the Lord just one more praise.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Such a sweet presence of the Holy Spirit in this place today. Thank you, Jesus. So good to be here and once again and to be just in the service this morning. I don't take it lightly to, you know, be invited to minister somewhere, because anytime you are preaching in someone else's congregation, there's a trust that the Lord has placed in that person's heart for you, and I don't take it lightly. I honor the pastors of this church and all of the membership. Can we just show the musicians and singers some love this morning and the worship? I won't apologize for sensing the presence of God. Amen. We're in like company, and we're just here to worship and thank the Lord. You can go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 1. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 1. Such a weighted letter that the apostle has written to this church. And a lot of this letter is in the form of correction to the direction that they were going, but it was an admonition to stay the course also. And I believe the Lord wants us to stay the course as believers and not be complacent. There's a responsibility that comes with truth, and that responsibility is that we walk in that truth and that we live in that truth. And chapter 13 and verse number 1, it says this: though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I may remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. And this is the emphasis of this message this morning, that we avoid this pitfall of being a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, but that we exhibit the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our, not just our church services, but in our homes. Amen. A lot of times we are people of holiness in the house of God. But my prayer is that I am walking in holiness when I am with my loved ones, and that I walk upright and live according to the word of God when I'm in the house and when I'm on the job and when I'm with my children and when God is moving upon me. Because oftentimes a move of the Holy Spirit, and I've prayed for this and in my personal prayer time, and I'm praying, Lord, move, Lord, pour out your spirit, and Lord, do this, and Lord, do that. And many times when we think about a move of the Holy Spirit, a lot of times it's external, but I'm believing God for personal revival and a revival that stirs my heart to the things of God again and God to do something in my life. And I want to just share a few moments on this passage this morning from this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the service. We thank you for this time that we get to come together and worship. And Lord, just to be together on this Sunday morning, we pray, Lord, that you will anoint us again, that you will strengthen us, that you will help us. Lord, that we will do no violence to your word, to your spirit, or to your people, but let everything that we say glorify you and edify the body of Christ, that we will be strengthened through the truth of your word, and Lord, that all the people of God will grow and learn, and that we will draw closer to you through the truth. Anoint the people and anoint myself, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. The letter to the church of Corinth has been, you know, widely read and considered throughout the years of the church. And, you know, as believers, as we read through the contents of this letter, I'll give just a little background. This church was formed in a society that was filled with paganism and perversion, a life of partying and all kinds of things that you can think of that were contrary to the character and the nature of God. And this young apostle goes into this region, and as he would even state in this letter, he went in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul's words were, he says, for the message of the cross is to them who perish foolishness, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And then in chapter 2, he says, when I came to you, in other words, when I came to the city of Corinth, he says, I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul shows up in the midst of this city and the darkness that was here. He shows up with a divine revelation from God, proclaiming to the people a truth that not only was something that they needed to hear, but it was the only message that could change the scope of this city. And it is the only message that can change the heart of an individual today. It is the meaning and the message of the new covenant that was revealed to the apostle Paul. We say the message of the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, whatever terminology you use, the end result is that this gospel brings demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And the demonstration of the Holy Spirit is a life that has been changed by the gospel. And you and I who are saved today, we are the beneficiaries of this truth. If those of us who are in this room who've been saved, we are the result of the power of God working through the cross of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but God brought me from a long way off. God delivered me from alcohol and drugs and a life of party and perversion. And God stepped in and changed my life from gangs and to foolishness and to stupidity. Thank God my children didn't have to watch me and the person that I used to be. But they saw somebody who was by the grace of God saved and delivered from that lifestyle. That is the result of the gospel. The gospel changes lives. I know as cliche as that may sound, but it is a reality that we must embrace. And so when Paul shows up, he preaches this message and people are getting saved. It is literally a truth that is impacting the city to such a degree. It impacts the economy of the city. What a change when it impacts the economy of the city. And so when Paul begins to plant a church here, this church starts out well. They're on fire for God. They're being changed, and people are getting saved, and people are being delivered by the power of God. But in comes some trouble. And the trouble begins to manifest because they begin to drift away from the truth of this message that Paul had preached to them. And the result of walking away from truth will always surface externally. It will always come to the surface in the form of schism and division. Chapter 1, Paul says, listen, brothers and sisters, we don't need any schism and division among us, but we need to all speak the same thing. We need to all hold to the same truth. He was not saying that we should all agree on every little thing that comes up. I can assure you that if we talked after church, all of us have different perspectives on so many things in life. But Paul was talking about the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we then all need to agree on that. I know I'm in the heart of Dallas, and I probably got a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans in here. Amen. Somebody please say that again. The no, sir. Amen. I contend believers are out of the will of God when they root for the Cowboys. Just thought I'd throw that in there since I got the... But we have differences. So Paul is not saying we all have to do the exact same thing. He is speaking of truth. He is speaking to us as believers that we need to be in agreement concerning the meaning of the new covenant and the message of the cross. And saints, if we are fighting on this truth, then it will create so much schism and division. And what ends up happening is I'm right and everybody else is wrong. I've fallen prey to that in my life and my walk with God. You begin to preach and you begin to think and preach from the perspective is that they need to hear me. But when God begins to get a hold of you and begin to expose your foolishness and your childishness and your self-righteousness, he'll begin to help you understand, no, you need to hear from God. And that all of the people of God need to hear this truth over and over again. Not even necessarily from the pulpit. Yes, from the pulpit. But in our personal lives, we need to be constantly hearing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to constantly be praying and constantly be reading the word of God and allowing God to feed us, because if we don't, we will find ourselves like this church who had external experiences, but internally they were drifting away from God. I think about the Old Testament where God told the people through the prophet, he says, your hearts are far from me. He says, you're still carrying out your sacrificial systems. And people, we can learn to go through a system and we can learn to how to follow suit with a certain thing. But my prayer is, Lord, I don't want to just do something externally. I don't want to just prepare for a sermon and preach a sermon and then go home. But when this sermon begins to work in my life and change my life, I want to see that in every single day of my walk with God. My desire as a young man, as a preacher of the gospel, is not just that I would be changed, is that the people of God be changed. But the change I want to see in the pew, I want it to happen in the pulpit first. Because the church of Corinth had external things happening. They were prophesying. And there began to be this competition of tongues. And we've seen it. I went into a prayer meeting one time, and when the prayer meeting was over, it was told to me, he says, hey man, you didn't have to do nothing when you had gotten here. I said, what do you mean? He said, I had already brought the power in. This truly happened. I was at another service. I won't say where I was preaching and what I was supposed to preach, but I didn't get to preach that night. The Lord moved in such a miraculous way, and the people were just crying on the altar. And after the service, a young man walked up to me. He says, "Man, I was here before the service, and because I was here, God told me, because you were praying on the altar, this is why this happened tonight." And this is what begins to creep into our minds. We begin to think that we are somehow the ones who are doing things. And it happens in an external experience. But my prayer, even here, as they were worshiping this morning, my heart just began to cry. I don't want an experience, Lord. I want a perpetual flowing of the Holy Spirit that will result in an outflow from my heart of love, of purity, of charity, and of patience and kindness towards the people of God. Corinth loved God, but they drifted away from God. And Paul writes this letter and begins to challenge them. Number one, don't forget the truth. Don't walk away from the truth. Fight to stay. Pastor Lauren Larson made that statement to me years ago that God spoke to him, fight to stay. And it's not necessarily a building, but fight to stay in the truth where God has grounded you. Fight to stay. And then he tells them also in the church of Corinth, he says, this truth is where the power of God resides, not just to initially save you, but the Greek text says, but through the message of the cross, we are being saved. This talks about initial salvation, but the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer that says that you and I can be changed and molded and continually grow in grace and the knowledge of the truth, and we will begin to look like Christ, sound like Christ, walk like Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. That should have got a lot more amens. I guess y'all sound just like him. I want to. He produces this desire. Let me get to this. And then Paul says, you have gifts. And this is our text. But you don't have fruit. He says, you got gifts. We're not even going to argue about how many tongues and messages of tongues and interpretation and how, if you read chapter 12, before we even get to chapter 12, they had issues even over the Lord's Supper. They were arguing over everything. And not only did they have issues over the Lord's Supper, they started having issues over legal matters, and they started suing each other. So you had a church that knew how to speak in tongues. They could, at any moment, they could break forth in tongues. At any moment, the gifts would manifest, and God was using them. Because the gifts and callings are without repentance. You can see people with no character that preach good sermons. You can see people with no character sing great songs. I love music. I love the music ministry. But I feel Satan has hijacked the music of the church. And now we have performers, but not worshipers. We have artists, but people who are not worshipers. And then, so now, before I come, I need to know how many people are going to be there. I need to know what this is and what that is. And the truth of the matter is, a worshiper wants to worship God. Give me a platform. I don't need a microphone. Just give me a moment where I can lay before the Lord and minister to the people of God. Paul and Silas turned jail into a worship experience. And you telling me you can't preach or teach or sing in a small church? God help us. God help me. God help us not get lifted up in ourselves to where we forget where we come from. Paul said, there are not many noble among you. Let me tell you, in our terminology today in the South, you ain't nothing. You were nothing before you got saved. You don't have a whole lot. But now that you're saved, there's been something deposited in you that's greater than a doctorate degree. It's greater than a platform. It is the power of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit. Paul says the one who plants is nothing. The one who waters is nothing. But the one who we focus on is who gives the increase. So they had legal problems. And all of this is going on internally. And Paul writes them this letter. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to be at church that Sunday when you hear this read out loud. He didn't pull punches. He didn't try to sugarcoat it and play on their emotions. He just told them what thus says the Lord. He says, get rid of those divisions, the foolishness that's going on. You're suing each other. You're fighting over the Lord's Supper. There's sin in the church, chapter 5. It was so awful that the world wouldn't even accept this kind of sin. That's what he said. He says, you're acting worse. If you go back and read the prophet Jeremiah, God even told Jeremiah, he says, the people of Judah are acting worse than the Canaanite nation. And they were the church of that day. He says, but the sad reality is we have drifted away from God. And then he says, you tend to replace God. That's what he told Jeremiah. He says, you have replaced the fountain of living water and you have built for yourself broken cisterns. You have water, but it's not the flow of the Holy Spirit. We have a flow, but it's a foreign flow. It's a flow that produces self-righteousness and egotism and me and I. But the flow of God glorifies God and not the man. Now he tells them, chapter 12. Now, I want to say this. Paul is not preaching against gifts. He's regulating gifts. He's not telling you gifts are not for today. He's telling us how to properly flow in the gifts. A lot of people have taken these passages in chapter 12, 13, and 14, and this idea of cessationalism has been birthed out of it to say that God no longer moves in this way. But this stopped when the canon of scripture was closed. You're going to have a hard time convincing people who've been healed by God. Come on. That God no longer heals. You're going to have a hard time trying to convince people. I carefully share this because I want to bring glory to God. I got a message the night before I flew out here. I was preaching in Canada in November. And while we were there in Canada, I don't remember those people. It was a lot of people there. So I don't even remember the sister, but I received word that there was a sister in the service who the doctor had given 3 weeks to live. And that night in the service, the Holy Spirit began to move. I got a message. This is February, I guess, 19th. I don't know. I don't have great math, but it's been a whole lot of weeks since then. Her husband said, would you send word to the brother that my wife has been healed? She's still alive. And whatever was causing the issue, I think it was cancer, there's no more in her body. You're going to have a hard time convincing people like that, that God no longer heals, saints of God. But instead of me highlighting that, Paul says this in chapter 13. He says, I know you have tongues. And some of you are even bragging, I can speak in the tongues of angels and men. And that's spiritual supremacy right there. They were superior. And if you ever meet a person who is spiritually better than everybody, oh, you have met a character. You can tell a man, God moved in such a way Sunday, three people were saved wonderfully by the power of all glory to God. Well, our church had 80 people get saved. Well, praise God. And it's just, it's a constant competition of God did this for us and did this for that person. And Paul says this, he says, listen, you can have all of this going on externally. He says, but if you don't have love, you're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. What does that mean? In the pagan culture of that day, and I'm going to close here in just a moment. In the pagan culture of that time, they believed. Now, I want you to hear how close this sounds with culture today. Do I need to be still, brother? I'm sorry. I just realized he was okay. They believed the more noise you made, the more you can get in touch with a God. So when Paul wrote this, they knew what Paul meant by this. Because you got to remember, he was preaching to a people who had come out of a pagan culture. So they understood what a sounding brass. They would literally take just metal and brass and they would just beat on it. And it was just a hollow sound. Can you imagine if somebody sat in here and just start beating on metal? That's what happens when we don't have love in the body of Christ. That's what happens when we emphasize gifts over fruit, gifts over character. It becomes noise, and we think the louder we are, the more the presence of God is there. And if you have been a part, and I'm not condemning it, of the Pentecostal experience, oftentimes we conclude noise as the power of God. God spoke to the prophet Elijah in a still, small voice. He didn't move in all of the wind and all of the other things, but that still, small voice. We've gotten rid of the still, small voice, and we know how to flip over to you. I grew up, I don't know about you, I grew up in the Church of God in Christ. Any Kojic folk in here? Maybe some of y'all never heard of it. I don't know. Oh, I see a sister over there. And there was a lot of experiences in the Church of God in Christ. I love the holiness. Thank God. We need to be holy. But there were so many experiences where you had to be purged. Anybody ever been purged in the Holy Ghost? Some of y'all are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Let me explain it without being so graphic. They had the idea that, you know, and this is where you see some of these what called deliverance ministries, that you had to regurgitate. And you in church doing all of this, carrying on, and they said, now God is moving. God doesn't have to do all of that to deliver you. I think about Luke, where he talked about a woman who walked into a service, a synagogue where Jesus was preaching. The Bible says the woman was bowed together and she could not lift herself up. She walked in church bent over. And the Bible says she was walking like that for 18 years. She couldn't play with her grandchildren. I mean, she couldn't do much of anything because she was bound and she was bowed together. They didn't get a big prayer line. Not that that's wrong. They didn't do a whole lot of jumping and shouting. Jesus was literally teaching. He stops teaching and says, woman, thou art loose from your infirmity. He gets right back to his text. That's power. That's power. It's again from last night. It may not be impressive, but it's power. We want impressive, and we call impressive powerful. But God says, I don't want you to just be impressed with people, but I want you to embrace power that begins to produce something. And when Jesus spoke to the woman, the Bible says she stood up straight immediately. And she began to walk upright. And you know what religious spirits did? They got mad. Say, how are you going to heal this woman on the Sabbath day? You've been bound for 18 years. And the only response you got is what day I got healed. God, help us in the body of Christ to stop fighting over foolishness. And to start embracing. missing the main character. His name is not Nash. His name is not any other name. The main character is Jesus Christ. And if it's not about him, I don't want it anymore. Paul says, you got tongues. They were eloquently speaking in tongues. They had it all together. My daughter and I joke, there was an old bishop in the Kojic. He had this famous tongue. Everybody knew him. He would just say, Eba. Some of y'all don't know. He'd be preaching and out of nowhere, Eba. And when he would say that, people would just start shouting because they were fixated on a noise. They were fixated on his way of speaking in tongues. But Paul says, listen, that's cool that you got hold of that. But where is the agape love? And then I'm bringing this to a close. He says, this is what you want to impress God. Start looking like God. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul says, be imitators of God and do what? Walk in love. Agape love is a decision. It's not something where you are yanked around like a puppet and forced to do something. It is a deliberate action to choose to love your brother and sister in Christ in a sacrificial way and prefer others before yourself. And he tells them, he says, you got noise. It may be attracting people, but it's not attracting the God of the Bible. Thank God for noise, but I want character this morning. And I want my character, watch this, to be louder than my noise. I want my character to be louder than my shout. I want my character to be louder than my tongues. Would you stand to your feet all over the house of God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just bow your head for just a moment. And just take a moment to pray and self-reflect. And Lord, search my heart. Search my heart. Whatever is there that may be hindering me, Father, I pray that you remove it from me. Help me to walk in love. Help us to walk in love. Help us to have the character of Christ. Thank God for Pentecost. Thank God for praise and the shout and the rejoicing. But Lord, this morning we're praying that you would develop in us fruit of the Holy Spirit. That when you flow, that it would result in there being a produce of beautiful fruit that would love people, that would be patient with people, that would encourage people, that would have long-suffering, temperance, meekness, joy, self-control. Help us as the people of God this morning to be what we ought to be for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for that word. We thank you for that message. We thank you for the reminder that, Lord Jesus, truly there are things greater than gifts, and that thing is being like you. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given us, Father, so that we can truly be made like you day by day. Father, we just ask that you just search our hearts, Lord, search our minds. Anything that we have that is not of you, anything that we have in us that is not like you. Oh, Father, we just lay it down this morning. We ask that you truly, Father, begin to make fruit in us, Father. Help us not to be people that just make noise, but help us to be a people that love those that you've put in our lives. Once again, Lord, we just thank you for this message. We thank you for the truth. We thank you because you give truth to those that you love. And this shows that you love us. So, Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen and amen. Amen. Give a hand to God for that word. Amen. 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 You know, there is never a wrong time for such a message as that. And it's always interesting because it is very easy to be kind to strangers, but it's truly a test of your love to be kind to those that you live with and those that know you every single day. So I pray that we don't take this and go out and be kind to those that we don't know, but we truly actually let God's love grow in us so that we can love those who live with us every single day. Amen. Amen. As always, if you haven't given, we're going to go ahead and just take a quick moment to give. So you guys know definitely how to do that. You can text to give, and the kiosk is in the lobby as well. And for those online, please feel free to text to give or hit the donate button as well. This Wednesday, no Bible study, but we will have our laity service. So that's this Wednesday at 7 p.m. Please come out and, just kind of help those who are stepping out to preach. Help them to kind of feel the pressure of having people in the crowd, you know. So be out here this Wednesday at 7 p.m. for that. And last but not least, this Friday at 11 a.m., we will have a funeral for our sister, Michelle Ellison. So that's this Friday, February the 27th. So please, if you are able, come out for that as well. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just go to the Lord real quick with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for that message. We thank you for that word. We thank you because you are such an on-time God, Father. We just ask that we let you do what you do best in us, Father, which is to produce fruit. We ask that we don't leave this place, Lord, thinking that we can do this on our own, Lord, because Father, we can only do this as we yield to you. So once again, God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for this word. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.